Good morning and welcome to Jenkins Church. If you haven't already, why don't we stand and greet our neighbors? Sorry, I had to go where I noticed it said I had the baby with her. I had to go see. Okay, are there any announcements this morning?
Speak into that. We have 16 youth and adults from Jenkins Church on the way to St. Louis as we gather. And we have 33 from total from Columbia Presbytery. And they're going to do a work mission trip in the area with group, is that right? With group incorporated and et cetera. I met with them. I came in early this morning and I wasn't fully dressed. And Susan Elizabeth said, "You look rough." And I said, "I am rough." And so if I look rough, maybe I won't be rough this morning here. But pray for them and just keep them in mind all week. They won't be back, I believe, till Saturday. Looking to Steve and Susan, they'll be back Saturday. And so that is the biggie right now. Okay, just stop there for that.
Any more announcements? Any prayer concerns or praise reports?
Somebody may need to check the air. Earlier it was 68 in here, but I see some fanning, so it may be getting hotter. And I'm a little warm too, so who wants to take care of that? John? Good.
Anyone else? Okay. Anyone else? Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Kathy Green had her surgery on Wednesday, and she did fine. There is no cancer on the chest wall, so that's a praise. They think they got everything. She will be in Winston County until Monday because she has pneumonia now. But, you know, pneumonia is the least of our worries, is what I told her. We got with the cancer, you know, not being any sign. We got pneumonia. We can deal with pneumonia. So just keep her in your prayers, for not only for her health, but for her
emotions.
Yeah. Okay. Anyone else? Okay, let's pause for a moment of silent prayer and prepare our hearts for worshiping God. Amen. Would you please stand for our call to worship, which is printed in your bulletin and it is responsive. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. Our first hymn is Open the Eyes of My Heart, and it'll be on the screen.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, I want to see you, I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord, open the eyes of my heart, I want to see you, I want to see you.
Lord God, we come before you with humbleness this morning. You have lifted us from the muck and the mire of the world, and you have redeemed us from eternity separated from you to an eternity in your presence. And Lord, we come thankful, we come humbly before you, and we come to say thank you and praise be unto you. And as we have assembled, oh Lord, we pray that you would open the eyes of our heart, realizing, Lord, that sometimes our physical eyes get so bombarded that we don't see you for seeing the things of the world. And Lord, help us to close these eyes at least long enough to visit with you, be empowered by you, be motivated by you, and sent by you. Thank you, Lord, for this time. And we offer our prayer in the name of Jesus, now praying as he taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated.
Please join me in unison as we recite our Apostles' Creed. It's on page 716 in your hymnals, and it's also on the screen. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was born by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He ascended into Hades. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and setteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Our call to confession comes from Romans chapter 3, verse 23. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Please pray our prayer of confession with me. O God, the rock of our salvation, your faithfulness is as constant as the North Star, but your holiness frightens us, for the justice of your love brings judgment on our lives. Like David before us, we would rather build you a temple and keep you safe in one place than have you move about with us in a tabernacle and be everywhere we go. Like the psalmist, we would rather shout the certainty of your favor, a favor as predictable as the rising sun and moon, than face the possibility that our peace may come not through the strength of arms, but through the love of a shepherd for the lost sheep of our world. Amen. Our words of assurance come from Ephesians 2. In Christ, we are citizens with the saints as members of the household of God. In Christ, we are built spiritually into a holy temple of the Lord, a dwelling place for God. The next hymn is Since I Have Been Redeemed, number 339.
This is new for me, so bear with me. Let's do two and then four. All right, first two.
I have a promise to satisfy. Thank you.
offertory sentence this morning comes from Romans 12:1. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Would the ushers please come forward?
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Please be seated.
Our special music this morning will come from the Sound of Sound. This song is a 2-minute, 3-minute, however long the song is, sermon about how we can be a light to the people around us and encouraging us to light up our world, whether it's the people that you meet 40 hours a week, or just the person that you buy your newspaper from, or get your coffee from, and you see just briefly, your life can be a light to them, and you can reach out to those in darkness. The title of the song is "The Light Your World." scripture lesson this morning comes from Mark 6, 33-34, and 53-56. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him about all they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized him and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. When they had crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret and anchored there. As soon as they got out of the boat, people recognized Jesus. They ran throughout that whole region and carried the sick on mats to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he went, into villages, towns, or countryside, they placed the sick in the marketplaces. They begged him to let them touch even the edge of his cloak, and all who touched him were healed. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Busy, busy, busy. Do you feel busy? Sometimes do you feel too busy? Busy. This morning, even here, was a busy time. I showed up before the young people left with adults with them. My daughter said, "Daddy, you look rough." And I said, "Dear, I am rough." And so if I look rough, I tried to fix that before the rest of you got here this morning. But I wasn't dressed, fully dressed. Life is so busy. But it's always been that way. We remember a time when it wasn't so busy, right? We were kind of quiet and easygoing, but when was that? That might have been 1 or 2 days, but life is busy. It might have been when we were 8 or 13, but life is normally busy, is it not? Casey, have you got busy yet? Next week it'll really be busy, right? Just be thankful for the cool days, yes. I think your brother went off and did the same thing when it was hot, 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 right? Two or three years ago. Casey, has he gone for a week yet? 2 weeks already, okay. And up at Murray State, Western Kentucky, the western part of Kentucky, not Western Kentucky University, the western part of Kentucky is almost as hot as mid-Mississippi, okay, isn't it? Sticky, sticky hot. Enjoy it, man, enjoy it. Okay. Mothers, have you ever... when trying to bring up your children, just slip away from those little fellows for just a few minutes. Find a quiet place and eat a candy bar. Hidden. Did you ever do that? If you didn't, did you want to? Envy anybody who would. Or after the children are in bed, or were in bed, if you're remembering back yonder, you got them to bed and it had been a busy day, and we had grandchildren this week, so we were reintroduced to the active children, and our children never went to bed at 7:45, as some of you have done to your children, and our grandchildren never are ready for bed at 7:45. We try to wear them out, and they wear us out. But at the end of the day, when they finally are in bed, if you happen to be still awake, have you ever just slipped to a quiet place, maybe your kitchen table, maybe even the bathroom, and close the door, or just sit down and rest for a few minutes? you know, breathe big before you get off to bed yourself. Dog story. Can you stand a dog story? I grew up in the country. We had a front porch. We sat on the front porch in some big old rocking chairs that didn't rock anymore. The nails or whatever held them together had come loose. I think they were homemade rocking chairs. Maybe my father had made them. I'm not sure. And we had to prop them against the wall. And they were big old things, but they were so nice to go out and sit in. They were kind of like a lounge chair by then, with the back propped against the wall if you got it at the right angle. And maybe put a chair in front of them, put your feet up there. And 12 or 13 years old, my age at that time, and I would want to have a mid-afternoon snack. Well, almost without fail, our big yard dog would come. We had yard dogs, not house dogs. Our big yard dog / porch dog would come and look up at me as I was eating my sandwich with big, sad, hungry-looking eyes. A pathetic look to look him or her into the eye, whatever the sex of the dog that we had at that particular time. And I would feel obligated, but a soft heart. I would feel obligated to share my sandwich with that dog, or at least a portion of it. Or if it wasn't a sandwich, whatever I was eating. And sometimes I was determined I wasn't going to share my sandwich with that dog, whichever dog it was. I was going to enjoy it myself. But I knew if I went out on the porch, I would have to share it because I couldn't stand to look him or her in the eyes and eat. Well, he was so hungry. So I'd stay in the house those days and eat in the privacy of the house. That way, I was able to eat in solitude, as I called it, and not be bothered by those sad, hungry-looking eyes. I wanted to be alone, and I thought I deserved to be alone because I'd probably brought in 3 buckets of water that morning from the well. We had running water. You run to the well and get it and come back in with the bucket of it, okay? Jesus and the 12 disciples needed to be alone. There's no question. There might have been a question whether I needed to be alone, but there was no question that Jesus and the 12 disciples needed to be alone, away from the crowd. They needed to group together and encourage one another and support one another. They needed a time for rest. They needed some solitude from the hurriedness of the day around them. They had been so busy. If you go back in Mark, if this happens to be chronological, I'm not claiming it is, but Jesus' life was busy. And I suspect it's somewhat chronological that they did this and they did this and they did this and they were tired. Jesus had just sent out the 12 on a mission. And as they returned from the mission, they reported a busy time, a successful mission trip of casting out demons and leading people to trust in Jesus. So they had just returned from this mission, and after returning and reporting to Jesus, their workload increased. They had been so busy. They thought they'd come back and meet with Jesus, and he'd say, "Let's take a break, fellas. Take a few days off. We've been so busy. We've been so successful." But it wasn't to be. The workload increased. So many people were coming and going that the Scripture says they did not find time to eat. You ever been that way? That you're so busy that you forget to go eat or don't find time to eat? Somebody is waiting at your door to talk to you, to do something, and I think Steve encounters this pretty regularly at his work. And maybe sitting in close to me, you get picked on maybe, but maybe Susan there, receiving those people to go for x-ray, and sometimes they are lined up, and she's hungry, and she wants to go eat, but she can't just let them sit there. And then right down the hall from her is that where they take in the heart people. And they are lined up. So those people, they may not be able to find time. I think we can relate to this. Even keeping our children, keeping those grandchildren, it was difficult for Carol to find time to eat this week, I think. I could get in the car and leave. But she was going to stay there. Sometimes she'd say, go on, go on. Jesus saw their need. He saw their tiredness. So he called them away from the crowd, away from the crowd and unto himself. He called them away to a place of solitude. I think one version talks about a desert place or the wilderness. A place of solitude. A lonely place. So that they could become rejuvenated, if you will. And so that they could gain the rest or experience the rest that they needed. This brings us to a point. People need a time of rest. And there's some people in the world who won't work, wouldn't kill a snake if it's about to bite them. But there's some people in the world who work and work and work and work and keep on working. They feel that they're not doing what they should be doing unless they are working. But people need a time of rest. Even in the creation story, we find that God chose a time of rest. God worked 6 days, and he rested one day. 6 days to do the creation, and then one day of rest. You may not want to take that as a literal story, but there's a great lesson there. I think it, I don't know how long the days were. But he worked for 6 and rested for 1. When he gave the commandments, Moses received them. He commanded that his people spend 1 day out of 7 at rest. 4th commandment. For our benefit, for our relationship with him, for his people's relationship with him, for their well-being, for our well-being. God even called for a time of rest for the land. Hear this. God even called for a time of rest for the land. For his people, but for the land. Every 7th year, Sabbath year, or sabbatical, he called for rest. Don't plant anything these years. The American farmer tried to rotate crops and leave a portion of land out of production. And just move that portion around to let that portion of land regroup. But in the Old Testament, it was supposed to be able to let the land rest and for the poor to go and harvest what might grow voluntarily there. People need a place of rest, a time of rest. The land needs a time of rest. You can find that in Exodus 23. Right after Exodus 20, the Ten Commandments. Go on to Exodus 23, and you can find the land needed the time of rest, but it's repeated in Leviticus 25, or stated again. Leviticus 25, the land needed the time of rest. And then there was the 4th commandment. If you need to look it up, Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5. And in Deuteronomy 5, there are 12, 13, 14, and 15. Kind of an explanation to this commandment. Deuteronomy 5, Exodus 20. But sometimes rest is not to be had. No matter how much it is needed and what is required for us. Although Jesus and the 12 tried to get away from the crowd, many saw where they went and met them there. And I'm not sure of the geography of the place, but they got on the lake the Sea of Galilee and tried to go across, but somehow the people that were with them could see that they were going pretty close, so they ran around. And the geography, to me at least, is a little bit confusing, but they got there, and many saw where they went and met them there. Isn't that something? You're trying to get away. And they met you there. I got another story to tell, but maybe I'd better not tell it, okay? I think this is illustrated with an episode of Andy Griffith. I saw it two or three nights ago. Do you watch Andy Griffith? Every night, just about? Go to bed with that? That's my time of rest. Oh, there's about three places you can look. Andy tries to take a vacation. They kept saying, Andy, you're tired, you need a vacation. But he tried. He was home. The neighbor called him and said, wanted to come get the cat out of the tree. And she said, Barney will take care of it. Well, she didn't trust Barney with her cat, evidently. And he had to convince her that Barney could get the cat down out of the tree. Don't know whatever happened, but that was part of the story. And then Barney and Gomer kept showing up at his window. He couldn't rest. They wouldn't let him rest. So they insisted. They convinced themselves, at least, that they could take care of things. Nobody else believed it, but they did. And then there was this criminal escaped. And Barney and Gomer kept letting him loose. And Andy had to catch him about three times while he was on vacation because they were blundering around. He could not find any rest. A desperate people we read about in the scripture lesson this morning, and you read it and you'll find it's a desperate people who needed help came to Jesus. People who were like sheep without a shepherd. Sheep without a shepherd. What desperation are they in? Well, there's nobody to care for them. And people need someone to care for them. There was no one to protect them. And most people need someone to protect them. There was no one to lead them to water. There was no one to feed them. That's what a shepherd does with his sheep. He takes care of, he feeds, he protects, he leads them to the water. Go back to Psalm 23. The psalmist talking to God about God leading him to still waters and sitting him down at a table covered with food and blessing him with the anointment of oil. So, what to do? He needed rest. But people show up, they're hurting. What do? Do we put rest first? We say, I've got to get my rest. Y'all fend for yourselves. Get rest if they so desperately needed, or minister to those desperate people who came to them. Well, Jesus helps the people. He ministered to their needs. And one thing it says pretty plainly here, he began to teach them many things. Maybe they didn't need physical things done for them. Maybe they needed some intellectual stimulation. So he taught them many things. Maybe he was teaching them. It doesn't say what he was teaching at this particular time. Maybe he was just teaching them, folks, people need rest. Doesn't say what he taught. Maybe he just taught them to go out and get busy. But there was something good about them being in the presence of the Son of God. They recognized him for who he was. He ministered to them. He began to teach them many things. And the day came to an end and they were hungry. What to do now? They were hungry. It's a good time to send them away, was it not? That's what the disciples thought. But Jesus would have no part in sending these who had come to him so desperately and sending them away. At least he wouldn't send them away hungry. So he fed them supper. But where did they get the supper? They had five loaves and two fish. Five loaves and two fish. That would have been a good time for Jesus himself, or Jesus and the disciples, to slip out of the way and slip behind a tree or some hedges or a rock fence and eaten out of the sight of the people, would it not? You know, like me and that sad-eyed dog. Or like you mothers when you were needed to just be away from your kids a moment and enjoy your candy bar or whatever that you like to eat so much. Such a good time to slip away and eat that little morsel of food in private, in secret. But really, as you think about it, there was not even enough for all the disciples. There was not enough there for them. Jesus would have none of slipping away and feeding himself. He had compassion on the people, and he blessed. He took that which was available, and he blessed it. And he fed a crowd. We call it the feeding of the 5,000, but if you read it, it says there were 5,000 men. Were there any women there present? Were there any children present? Probably so. It probably wasn't a men's gathering alone. Fed 5,000 men. Five loaves, that's a loaf to 1,000. Just the men. And then two fish, or pieces of fish. He took, I think there's a lesson here. He took what was available, Jesus, and used it. One of the things that people say in our generation, at least, it's not perfect. It's not like it ought to be. We wish it was different. If things were different, we would do differently. Can I say hogwash? Take what's available. Whatever your situation is, and make the best of it. And we see a miracle happened. We may be blessed with a miracle. We may not. But we may be blessed with a miracle ourselves if we just start. If we take what's available and use it for mankind, for the glory of God. Three events follow. How much time do I have? Three events follow. Jesus sent the 12 back across the lake. They did a lot of traveling on the lake, didn't they? Not a motorboat, was it? Fishing boat. He sent the 12 back across the lake. They had come across, now he sent them back. He went up into the mountain to pray. He found his time. Was he being selfish? No, he was doing what was necessary. Read John 15. I am the vine, he says, and you are the branches, talking about us. He is the vine and we're the branches. We must stay connected to him. Jesus had to go and talk to the Heavenly Father. Though he was God in the flesh, he needed to commune with the Father. He went up to the mountain to pray. And then, the second event, Jesus came to the disciples while they were in the middle of the lake, walking on the water, and he joined them for the rest of the journey. They land at Gennesaret, and they travel throughout that region. People brought their sick to Jesus. They begged him to permit them to touch even the hem of his garment. And all who touched him were healed. I find, I think, five lessons at least in this. We'll just mention them. People need to rest. And I probably spent enough time talking about getting rest. Life needs a balance. Work, rest. Maybe that rest is physical rest, and maybe that rest is spiritual rest. Time with God. We need work. We need time with God. We need worship. And then we need to do some more work. And boy, this week has been a week of physical work around here. Another lesson is the compassion of Jesus. Jesus put others before himself. And then when he could slip it in, he snuck off to the mountain to pray. When he could slip it in, but he put others before himself. And the parable of the Good Samaritan comes to mind here. The priest on the way to the worship. The Levite on the way to worship. They did not have time to stop and help a desperate man bleeding to death in the ditch. He'd been robbed and beaten, or beaten and robbed. Jesus put others before himself. Jesus praised the Samaritan who came by and put the robbed man, the injured man before himself. I think this is a great example. This is a great example for us. Jesus is first Savior. Jesus is first Savior, but he's also an example. Who is Jesus? A good example for us. I remember even we got in seminary and the teacher kept hammering away that Jesus is more than an example, boys. It was all men then. More than an example. He's Savior and he is an example. And then the work of Jesus. There's a lesson about the work of Jesus. Teaching, healing, feeding. That's all included here. But he also, the work of Jesus was dying, living again, and providing salvation for us. Then we see something about the power of Jesus. The power of Jesus. Although he was God in the flesh, he spent time with the Heavenly Father. And he made sure that he found that time. Rest, work, worship. Let's do it all for Jesus. The song is 372, Living for Jesus. Take your books and open to 372 if you will. Let's stand together and let's sing the first and the second stanza. Living for Jesus. Whether it be at work, at rest, at worship, at play. That it be we live a life that would honor Him and bring glory to His name. 372. Maybe you have a public response to make this morning to Jesus, who is first Savior. I'll meet you here if you so desire to come forward publicly.
Living for Jesus, a life that is true, striving to please Him in all that I do, yielding allegiance, glad-hearted and free. This is a pathway of blessing for me. Oh, Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself for Thee. For Thou in Thine atonement didst give Thyself for me. I own no other Master, my heart shall be Thy throne. My life I give is forth to live, O Christ, for Thee alone. Living for Jesus, Thine in my place, bearing on Calvary my sin and disgrace. Such love constrains me to answer His call, follow His leading, and give Him my all. O Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself for Thee, for Thou in Thy atonement didst give Thyself for me. I own no other master, my heart shall be Thy throne. My life I give it forth to live, O Christ, for me alone.
Go in the love of Christ, sharing it with all that you meet. You are dismissed.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Pray for my healing this week.
What kind?
Well,
physical?